You're listening to the Financial Framework Show with the man who can show you how to be debt-free. Now, here's Steve Barfield on WGAA, 1340 AM, the Big Double A.
Hello, my friends. Hope you're having a good afternoon. And as always, if you're out there driving, make sure you keep your focus on the road. And if you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. Now, the Financial Framework Show will be a 30-minute weekly broadcast every Wednesday at 3 p.m., and soon it will change to an hour format with live call-in questions. If you have any questions before then, send me an email at Steve@financialframeworkshow.com. That's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at financialframeworkshow.com, and I will answer them for you. Now, we will read some of the questions on the air so that the other listeners can benefit from the information. And remember, there is no such thing as a dumb question. In fact, the only dumb question is the one that's not asked. Before we get into answering some of the questions today, I want to wish my son, Steve, a happy birthday. He was the second child in the story that I told you about last week. He is a hard-working railroad man, a wonderful son and father, and I love him dearly. Happy birthday, buddy, and be careful out there, and give me a call later. Now, we have a lot to cover today, so I just hope that we can squeeze it all in. We have a lot of emails that have come in from listeners around the country, and I will answer a few on the air today. Now, the first one comes from Clarence in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Clarence writes, "Steve, I was able to listen to your show this past Wednesday, December 9th, on the web. Your comments were interesting and to the point, and I have a few questions for you. Well, Clarence, due to the volume of questions that we have in, I'm only going to have time to answer a couple of your questions on the air, and I will answer the other ones via email. Now, the first one is, where is the best place to save money for retirement following the Wall Street problems? Now, this is a great question, Clarence. Over the years, I have grown more and more conservative when it comes to people's retirement nest eggs. I started taking my clients out of the market almost 4 years ago because the debt numbers didn't add up, coupled with our lack of savings. I felt like we were going to hit some rough times in the market, and I'll tell you, I don't trust the market right now. I know that mutual funds have had a good average since the Depression, but I also know that people have been losing money in the market since 2000. I also know that our unemployment rate is extremely high, the dollar's value is way down and continuing to drop, our credit cards are maxed, credit card issuers are raising interest rates and minimum payment zones, our mortgages are maxed out, and the home values themselves are down 20 to 40%, and all of this added together really makes me wonder how the market is up right now. If I were you, I would be real careful. For my clients, my favorite products right now are the index products. I don't want people to lose, and I want them to have the potential for gain. I want all of you listening today to be careful with the stock market. And if you need any help with this, send me an email." Now, the second question that Clarence asked was, which is more important, buying insurance or saving for the future? Now, this is a loaded question because both are very important, but I am a true believer in having enough life insurance to protect the breadwinner. In fact, I feel that life insurance is the most important insurance coverage that a family can have. Think about this. If the breadwinner gets sick or is in a car accident, as long as he or she is alive, the two of them, well, they can tough their way through almost anything, but let the breadwinner expire, and then the surviving spouse is left with dealing with the loss of their soulmate, the mother or father of their kids, and the financial responsibilities that are left behind. And I can tell you right now that the bill collectors, they could care less about someone dying. All they want is their money. And it's sad to say, but that's how it works. And even if they have not saved very much for retirement, if they can become debt-free, retirement will not be an obstacle that they couldn't overcome together. And we can help them become debt-free. Now, here's another email from Kathy in Cleveland, Tennessee. And she writes, "Steve, I want to get out of debt, and how do I determine which bill should be paid off first?" Well, Kathy, this is also a great question. You see, each debt has four major factors. It has an interest rate, a balance, a monthly payment, and then how long you owe on the debt, and I call it the duration. Now, there are a lot of people on the radio and television telling you how to get out of debt. Some will tell you to pay off the highest interest rate. Others will tell you the smallest balance. Now, while both of these will work, there's not one single factor that should be used every time. The customized Equity Creator Financial Blueprint that is included in the Financial Framework Seminar It looks at each of these factors. Then it multiplies your debts against each other and comes up with an optimized debt paydown schedule. It does the calculations for you, so there's no guessing or anything for you to figure out on your own. If you're not using the Equity Creator Blueprint, I would pick the one with the shortest time period or maybe the smallest balance. Once again, without a blueprint to do the calculations, there is no way to know exactly which one to attack first, then second, etc. This is the reason I created the blueprint. Getting out of debt is tough, and if you're not paying off your debts the most efficient way, then you're costing yourself a lot of time and money. Kathy, I'm just so glad, though, that you've decided to become debt-free, and let me know if I can help. Now, before I get into talking about mortgages, let me touch on something that has been on my heart for a long time, and that is Christmas. Christmas has always been my favorite time of the year, which is probably true for most of you. I am now 53 years old, and I have witnessed the focus of Christmas going from the birth of our Lord and Savior to a point in people's lives where they think they have to spend money, which they don't have, to buy people things that they don't need. The birth of Jesus is being used as a marketing tool for retailers, and it just tears my heart out that we have gone right along with them. We have got to bring back the true meaning of Christmas. We owe it to our children and to our Lord and Savior. So, this is my message to all of you who will take my advice on this. Please make sure that you and your family celebrate this wonderful occasion, showing gratitude for what God has blessed you with and forgiveness to any who you might need to forgive. Understand that a gift of love or your attention or your time is much more valuable than anything that you can buy from a store. Don't go out there and just spend to be spending. Don't buy anything and pay for it with credit cards. If you do, you will be paying for these same items not only in 2010, but for years to come. Remember my talk about credit cards, how the devil is using them to destroy families more than he's using drugs and alcohol. And wouldn't you imagine that he enjoys creating all of this devastation during what should be our celebration of the birth of Jesus? Be smart. Use common sense. Have the grandparents put part of the Christmas money into a college fund for the grandchildren instead of spending it all on toys. Make some of the gifts that you give family members instead of spending money. You could bake some cookies or a cake, wrap them up and put a bow on top. You could take some photos of the kids and print off a couple 5x7s. Go to the dollar store and pick up some frames. I am sure your family would like this more than something you just picked up at the store because you felt like you need to give something to everyone. Use your imagination, and I'm sure that you will come up with some real good ideas that will allow you to give your family things that will mean an awful lot to them, and you won't be paying for this Christmas for years to come. At our house, we always have a Happy Birthday Jesus party on Christmas Eve. Teresa bakes a cake, and the entire family stands around the table and sings Happy Birthday Jesus. Then we all blow out the 3 candles on top of the cake, and we did this with our kids, and now we're doing the same thing with our grandchildren. Remember, put Christ back into Christmas, and it's a good time to start a new family tradition. Now let's get to our main topic today, which is mortgages. Now, as you know, it is the American dream to own your own home, and when I say own it, I mean own it free and clear. And a long time ago, people would save money to either pay a large down payment, or they would save enough until they could pay cash for the house. And then mortgages came into the picture. And then over the years, mortgage rules began to ease up, and it would allow a smaller down payment, which gave more and more people the opportunity to buy a house, which was good on one hand, but the mortgage instrument that was created to allow this was not built in a homeowner's favor. Now, as I have taught this around the country over the years, I have really had to be careful not to make people think mortgages are so bad that they would be better off not buying a house in the first place. Which is absolutely not true. A family should own their own home, and they should pay it off as soon as they can. Now, what I want to do today is I want to show you how mortgages work and what they will cost you if you play the mortgage company's games, and then what you need to do to tip the process back into your favor. The example that we will use will be a $100,000, 6%, 30-year fixed mortgage. The payment would be $599.55 per month, which in this example, I'm going to drop off the cents and only use the dollar amount. So first, let's talk about how it works if you do it their way. You see, at the end of the first year of the $599 monthly payment, only $105 is going to the principal and $494 is going to interest. At the end of year 10, you have made $71,880 in payments, but the loan balance is still $83,685. And also, of the $599 monthly payment, $180 is now going to the principal, and $419 is still going to interest. Now, let me ask you a question. How in the world does this equate to 6% on this loan? And finally, in year 18, 216 months later, and after $129,502 in payments, and remember, you only borrowed in this example $100,000, you're finally paying more to principal and interest. And at the end of year 25, you have made $179,000 in payments, and the loan balance is still $31,012. Now, this is funny math in my opinion, and you see, mortgages are front-end loaded, and we are the unsuspecting consumer, and we will take out a mortgage and either refinance every few years or sell the house and take out a new mortgage. And this process keeps us in the early years of the mortgage, and we pay tens of thousands of dollars in interest. And speaking of interest, you know how I feel about credit cards. I despise every last one of them, but if we don't pay these mortgages off early, and if we continue to refinance over and over, the effective interest rate that we wind up paying is mind-blowing. In fact, let me give you a few examples. Using the same mortgage that we have been talking about, a $100,000, 6%, 30-year fixed mortgage, if we refinance or sell the home in the 15th year, because of us overpaying the interest up front, we would pay an effective rate of 24.16% on this loan during the 15-year period. That is in the credit card range, isn't it? But if we kept the mortgage for only 7 years, the effective rate on our money would now be 68.80%. And if we just bought the house 3 years ago, and if we refinanced it today, then the process would start over again, and the effective rate would be a staggering 182.61% on our money over this 3-year period. Now, to answer the question that I asked you last week before we went off the air, in the example that we have been using, once again, $100,000 30-year fixed mortgage at 6%, when would you actually pay 6%? Now, I want you to get ready for this because you're not going to like it. How about the 360th month? The very last month, you would pay 6%, and this is how they legally call this a 6% loan. You see, when we find the house that we want to call home, you think about this. We would sign just about anything to make that dream a reality. And when we get to the closing table, a team of wild horses couldn't stop us from signing those papers. But now that you know how the loan is front-end loaded and not in your favor, I hope that you understand that the only good mortgage is a paid-off mortgage. And when I say paid off, I don't mean playing their game, taking 30 years to get it paid off. It is imperative that you accelerate the mortgage, and this will eliminate a lot of the upfront interest you would pay due to the loan being a front-end loaded product in the first place in their favor. Before we talk more about mortgages and how to pay them off early, let's look at another reason that proves that it is important to pay the mortgage off early. We will call this illusionary profit. In this example, a couple bought a house 5 years ago for $150,000. They took out a 30-year fixed mortgage at 6%. Then they put their house up for sale and sold it quickly for $190,000. The husband says to the wife, "See, honey, we did well. We picked out a good house in the right area, paid the right amount for it, and we made a $40,000 profit." They are both happy, and so is the lender. Why? Because the game worked successfully on another consumer. In fact, so successfully that the couple is now about to buy a new house using a 30-year fixed mortgage and will start the game all over again. Now, while buying a new home is the right thing for them to do, they need to go into the situation with their eyes wide open and not let the mortgage company take advantage of their situation. And see, there's more to this story, and this is where it gets interesting. The couple played the game, knowingly or not, and they lost. They think their biggest investment was a good one, a profitable one. But the problem is they actually lost money, not made it. Now, let's see how much interest they paid on their 30-year mortgage in that 5 years. They paid 60 payments of $899.33 per month. Now, I'm going to drop the cents off of this example just like I did in the other one. This comes to just under $53,959 in payments. And they only paid off $10,418 of the principal. So they paid $43,541 in interest, and yet their house only increased in value by $40,000. This means that they did not make a profit, but really and truly was $3,541 negative. Then, when you take away a real estate commission of about 6%, which in this example comes to $11,400, now they are $14,941 backwards on the deal. You see, what was supposed to be their biggest, best, and most important investment actually cost them money. And perhaps the worst part of it all is that the couple is under the impression that they actually made money. Now let's do a recap. A $100,000 30-year fixed mortgage at 6% with a monthly payment of $599. At the end of year 10, you have made $71,880 in payments, but the loan balance is still $83,685. Now, of the $599 monthly payment, only $180 is going to the principal, and $419 is still going to interest. And then finally, in year 18, 216 months later, and after $129,502 in payments, and once again, you only borrowed $100,000, you are finally paying more to the principal than interest. At the end of year 25, you have made $179,000 in payments, and the loan balance is still $31,012. Now, on top of this, if you either refinanced or sold the home in the 15th year, you would have paid an effective interest rate of 24.16%. If you sold or refinanced in year 7, you paid an effective interest rate of 68.8%. And if you made a change in year 3, either sold or refinanced, the effective rate that you would have paid is an amazing 182.61%. And if you don't accelerate your mortgage, the chance for you to make a profit if you sell a house is slim, just like the example that we covered today. And now for the rest of the story, because today I have given you some of the dirty details about mortgages, and some of you are out there probably scratching your heads thinking, what am I supposed to do now? I know that the only way for me to own a home is to take out a mortgage, but after listening to Steve today, it seems like it's a no-win situation for me. Well, this is not the message that I'm trying to convey. If you already have a mortgage, or if you intend to buy a home, the most important thing for you to do is to accelerate it and pay it off early. This will negate the majority of the interest, and it will put the ball back into your court. Then when you decide to sell the property, the interest that you paid will not have such a negative impact on the overall deal, making it much easier for you to show a profit on the transaction. Now, you might ask yourself a question, how am I supposed to accelerate my mortgage when I'm in debt? Well, there are different ways to pay down the principal of your mortgage, but to really make it work the right way, it is important to pay your other debts off first. You need to have a plan that lays this out in detail for you. Now, I didn't plan on doing a commercial for the Financial Framework Seminar right here, but included in the seminar is the Personalized Equity Creator Financial Blueprint. Now, in this blueprint, there's a customized debt paydown schedule that tells you the most effective way to get out of debt. The system takes the same amount of money that you're currently spending each month, shows you how to reposition it, and one by one, the debts are eliminated. All you have to do is continue to spend your same monthly payment until you're debt-free, meaning that when a debt pays off, that monthly payment doesn't just go back into your monthly budget or spending money. That paid-off money is added to the next worst debt in line, and by doing this one by one, you will see your debts be eliminated. Usually, it only takes about 3 to 4 years before all the monthly payment is going to attack the mortgage. If you don't have access currently to a church that is running the Financial Framework Seminar, then you can go to the Financial Framework website and look at the information there. Now, if you decide to try this completely on your own, it is important to only attack one debt at a time. When most people are trying to get out of debt, they will take the additional money that they have extra and split it up between several debts, sending each creditor more than is due in an attempt to pay them off early. The most efficient way is to take the entire amount that you have allocated to accelerate debt and apply the lump sum to one debt at a time. Then, when that one debt is eliminated, you would take the entire payment, the original amount that was due plus the additional amount, and add this combined amount to the next worst debt in line. Now, if you're paying online, try to put a note on the payment telling them to apply the additional payment to the original balance or principal. Print off a copy each month so that you can prove how you instructed them to apply the money. If you're sending a check, make sure the memo line that you write, apply any overages to principal. Once again, apply any overages to principal. This is especially important if you decide to attack the mortgage first now, which is not the best idea, but you have to be specific. And you have to let them know your intentions. Now, I'll tell you another thing about accelerating your mortgage. Make sure you ask your mortgage company to do this every month or two, and don't forget this. Ask them for a copy of your mortgage amortization schedule. Because, see, you will need to verify that they are applying your payment the proper way. The mortgage industry has been known to make as much as a $10 billion mistake. I didn't say million. I said a $10 billion mistake, of course, in their favor in one single year. Now, it is imperative that you keep your eye on the process and make sure that they do what they're instructed to do. And remember, I am not a novice at this. I've been helping people get out of debt now for 15 years and helping them retire for 25 years. I know all too well that we begin our adult life with the cards stacked against us. And as you have heard me say, we all figure out how to make money, but it don't come with an instruction booklet. Now, some of us figure out what to do better than others, but the majority of our country is in the same situation. The sad thing is most working families will earn a fortune in their lifetimes and will then wind up with basically nothing to show for it. And if they're not real careful, they will even drag debt into retirement with them, which means they can never retire. Have you ever taken your individual or family income and then multiplied it out for maybe 30 or 40 years? For an example, let's assume that you earn an average of about $50,000 per year. And let's assume that you're going to do this during your working lifetime. In 30 years, you will earn $1.5 million. And if you look at the number in 40 years, this comes to $2 million. In fact, if you just average $25,000 a year for 40 years, this means that you will earn $1 million in your working lifetime. But the problem is, this money simply comes into our checking accounts and goes right back out. We buy things that we could most definitely do without, and we don't understand enough about the games that are being played against us. And before we know it, we are over our heads in debt. We never seem to be able to put enough away for retirement or even the emergencies that life throws at us when we least expect them. The average family spends more time planning one vacation than they do planning their entire financial lives. You see, I want to help each and every one of our listeners. I want you to work on getting out of debt. I want you to work on budgeting your money, and I want you to save for short and long-term needs. And I honestly feel that together, you and I, and a little bit of God's favor working on this, you will be in a position to accomplish your financial goals and make your dreams come true. Isn't it amazing that we are lucky enough to live in the most powerful and special country in the world? I mean, we are free to become anything that we're willing to work for, where there's no boundaries except for our own attitude. Remember, if you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you're absolutely right. Well, the freedom and opportunities that we enjoy each and every day, they're not free. People have sacrificed for you and I. They have laid their lives on the line for people they'll never meet. They don't do this for recognition because they usually get none. They don't do it for money. Most soldiers' families live near the poverty level. The fact of the matter is, they love our country and all of its wonderful people. So I want to ask that everyone listening today and tomorrow and from now on, take time to pray for our soldiers and their families. These incredible people sacrifice for you and I, and their families also sacrifice and continually worry and pray for their loved ones. Their children and spouses, they miss them dearly. They often cry themselves to sleep at night. And I just wish that human beings could get along with one another. But from the beginning of time, we have always had to fight about something. You see, these brave soldiers, they are modern-day heroes. And without their bravery and sacrifices, where would our wonderful country be today? If you see a soldier somewhere, make sure that you take time to shake their hand and tell them just how much you appreciate them. When I am in airports around the country, I constantly scan the terminal in hopes that I'll spot one of our country's finest. I really like doing this when our families are around, and I make sure that their children know that their parent is a real true hero and that we all love and appreciate them very much. Now, I have done this dozens and dozens of times, and when I walk away from that little homecoming, I always have tears running down my face. We live in the greatest country in the world, and we owe our freedom to our brave military and their families. Please pray for them every day. Next week, we'll look at the EC budgeting system, which I wanted to do that today, but time didn't allow. And I will show you how this system is different than any budgeting system that you have seen, and you don't have to sell your stuff to make it work and get out of debt. You will like this concept and the fresh ideas to manage your hard-earned money. And I know that some of you are listening today and thinking, I could care less about running on a budget. The reason is most budgeting systems are hard to start and maintain, and people feel like they're even being punished, and it becomes a chore or a job that no one wants any part of. Well, I hope that you will at least give me a chance to explain the EC budgeting system to you. If you want to get started on building your budget, you can go to the Financial Framework website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner and click on the login button. In there, you'll see the WGAA radio section, and you should be able to find and download the budgeting system. Print it off, and you can begin to track your expenses. Let me give you something to ponder on before we end the show today. I want you to really think about what I'm asking. I mean, really think about it. But if you're driving, you might need to pull over or do this once you get to your destination. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to really dream about what your life would be like if you woke up in the morning and you didn't owe anyone a single penny. What would you feel like? What would your life be like? Just think about it. Close your eyes. Just think about it just for a minute. What could you do for your family and your friends and your church? You see, because we're always trying to make ends meet and survive, we cannot be the person that God put us on this earth to be. We are in bondage to debt. Most people make enough money, as we've talked about, to do some real special things in their lives. But the lack of knowledge and discipline puts them in a position that they will have to work until they die, never being able to enjoy life and make a difference. You see, I want to help you take your life back. I want to help you make your dreams come true. And together, I know good and well, we can make a difference. Well, our time is about up today, but before we sign off, I want to encourage you to go to the Financial Framework Show website and look around. There's a lot of information available on the site, not only for you, but also for your church. You can share it with your church about the possibility of them running the Financial Framework Seminar. A church needs a system, a plan, to free its people from debt. Debt is smothering our churches and our country. Encourage them to get in touch with us. If you missed anything on the show today, you can go to the website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you will see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen whenever you have time. Next week, you can catch the Financial Framework Show on Wednesday at 3 p.m. This will be a good show. Until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels, and may God bless.
You've been listening to the Financial Framework Show with the man who can show you how to be debt-free. Join Steve Barfield again here soon on WGAA 1340 AM, The Big AA.